Hello and welcome.
This is the SDS Amateur Radio Club Weekly Net number 445 for the 8th of July, 2026. That's Sierra Delta Foxtrot, the Super Dimension Fortress. If you're not familiar with SDF, it's a public access system that you can learn more about by directing your web browser to sdf.org. I will pause now for a few seconds to allow for stations to disconnect from this conference if they do not want to stick around for our net. Okay, so much for the usual boilerplate there. It's just you and me, Ray. Maybe somebody else will show up here a little bit later, but Well, let me just go through some of the formality here. I am Alpha Bravo 9, Foxtrot Juliet, the net control operator today. My name is Wayne. I'm located in Urbana, Illinois, and my SDF username is JWH. Those are the four items of information we like to hear from check-ins. If you don't have an SDF username, well, get one, okay? We'll wait for you. This net meets every Monday at Zero Zulu, yeah, and we'd like to thank Michael, November Zero, Victor Zulu, Charlie, for allowing us to use this conference for our net. Everything else there, it's standard stuff. So, anyway, what's new with you, Ray?
Let's see here. Name is Ray, call sign KF6GPE. This is all for the record, a non-radio recording. Location is Boulder Creek, California, between Silicon Valley and Santa Cruz, and my username on SDF is my call sign. Well, I just spent 2 weeks in Arizona where it was very, very hot. My mom had some health problems, and I had to go out and deal with it, and fortunately she's doing fine. I did bring both my Kenwood radio and my little OpenSpot 4 hotspot. I was pleased that the OpenSpot cross-moded between D-Star and System Fusion, so I was able to have my regular weekly QSO with my uncle and a friend of ours. So that was kind of cool because you can set it up to cross-mode in the web interface and it's supposed to work, and it just did. Audio was a little choppy. I think it's got to go between AMBE1 and AMBE2, which are two different versions of the AMBE codec. But that could have been the path I had, or maybe the path my uncle had, because I was going through Verizon Cellular in a spot with it was sort of touch and go coverage-wise. That was up in Sholo down in, let's see here, Florence. I heard a repeater on 440 megahertz. Didn't bother making any QSOs, but it was surprisingly busy. Lots of commuters. I was hoping to catch a club net, but I don't think I was on whenever, if the club actually had a net. I probably should have looked up the call sign on the web and actually seeing the club associated with it, but I didn't think about that till just now. The other thing is APRS was really dead in both Sholo and Florence, or maybe it was my antenna. I couldn't hit any digipeters at all in either location, and I heard very few packets, so I don't know what's up with that. Sholo's up in the hill country, and Florence is down in the desert about 45 minutes southeast of Mesa. So maybe I was just out of the range of whatever digis there were. But that's been my radio activity for the week. I'll turn it back to you, Wayne. How have you been? KF6GPE.
Oh, well, just trying to stay cool here. My house, the cooling has just been a mess here. So even when it's 76 outside, it's 90 inside. So very uncomfortable. Let's see. We had field day last weekend, and that was kind of it was different. We have a new field day coordinator, and he wanted to try something new. He wanted us to be all QRP, like battery, solar, no generators, no commercial power, and primarily digital, like FT8, with maybe a little bit of SSD. And it was an interesting experiment. I wouldn't say it was a great success. We did not make all that many contacts, but it was a useful experience. I don't think we'll do it again next year, or if we do, we'll do something different about it. I'm not sure. We'll see. I thought there was something else about ham radio. Well, I attended a cookout yesterday on the 4th that was hosted by a local ham. So it wasn't especially an amateur radio event, but it sort of qualifies, I guess, because there were probably at least a half a dozen hams there. And this was the first time I saw his new QTH and his new shack, and so it was kind of interesting. Other than that, I've been keeping my head down and just not exerting much energy, just trying to stay cool. So, anyway, I see the dashboard hasn't changed, it's just you and me, and it's been like this for the last several weeks. I'm really thinking that unless interest picks up, maybe it might be near the end. Anyway, all right. Now it's your turn if you've got something. I'm willing to hang around here for, another 10 or 20 minutes in case somebody shows up late. The Aussies are often, they come in after, like, the half-hour mark. So we'll see what happens with that.
All I'll say is your heat problems sound like my issues in my office when it reaches, not much warmer, maybe 80 to 83 degrees here. My office easily gets up to 85, 87 degrees by the end of the day, and I telecommute. And that's just miserable. I can't imagine it being 90 degrees indoors, except that maybe you could go outside, which is hit and miss. How much are you affected by the heat dome? I've been following that on AgWX. It looks like that's a little bit further east of you. Is that true?
I think it is shifting so that let me bring up the weekly forecast here. I need to kind of rewind a little bit and go back a little bit. What if I do that? Today's forecast high was 80 degrees, and I'm trying to back up and see what it was yesterday and before that, and Weather Underground is not cooperating. I'm clicking on the little button here, but it's not going back. But anyway, for the last 7 days or so, the highs have been in the low to mid-90s, so we've progressed from a high of 93 to a high of 80, which is an improvement. Let's see, what was the deal here yesterday? Yesterday's high was 97. And today's high is 80. So anyway, a nice drop there, about 15 degree drop in temperature here. And it's going to stay around 80, mid-80s, for the rest of the week. So that'll give... I'll get my house. It's a metal box, right? If you remember the scene in Bridge Over the River Kwai, it's not quite that bad. But there were a couple of days when it was the thermometer here in my office where I have my computers and everything, it said it was 101 degrees in here. And it says it's 94 degrees right now.
That is just awful. All right. I don't envy you at all. I would say the obvious, stay hydrated, drink plenty of water and all that good stuff. I assume the humidity there is higher than it is here, so 80 degrees is probably more uncomfortable. At 80, I can sit outside, and as long as I'm in the shade, it's actually pretty comfortable. If I go out in the sun, I wouldn't want to work in it, but then again, I'm lazy anyway, so I don't work anyway. Oh, look, we have Robert on. I will turn it back to Net Control. Robert, good to see you. Let's see here, AB9FJA from KF6GPE.
Yes, hi, Robert. We don't have a topic this week. It was just me and who was with me last week? Anyway, I think it was me and Harold last week, and so we didn't really have a big discussion about Field Day. And I guess we probably don't have enough Field Day participants this weekend either. But anyway... That's the closest thing we have to a topic this week. We're mostly just complaining about the weather, and I guess, you're down there, it's your winter time. Maybe your weather is a little bit more enjoyable. So, take it away, Robert.
Yes, good morning. It's Robert, Victor Kilo, 2 Delta Yankee in northwestern Sydney. Where it's currently, what is it, 13 degrees Celsius, which is about 50-something, 4 Fahrenheit, something like that. I did the conversion on the rest of the weather. It looks like the weather is going to range between 50 for a low Fahrenheit and 60 for a high Fahrenheit. So we're cloud covered and probably going to get some rain. So that keeps the temperature where it is here. But it is what it is. I do note that today is 34 seconds longer than yesterday, and sunset has now pushed all the way to 5 p.m. So we're working on it. And that'll be a whole lot better in 3 months when we go back on the daylight savings time, and it'll push that that hour later. But anyway, it is what it is. The weather here is cold and overcast. We actually had a lovely couple of days here where it was about 70 Fahrenheit. So, yeah, we're 30? I forget how far we're south. Anyway, we're not that far south that we are out of the warmer range. I think we're 32 degrees south. Anyway, not very far south, whatever we are. So it's the weather here is pretty mild, actually. Although houses had better insulation and better better ways of heating them, I think we wouldn't be cold at all. Let me reset for a second. So insulation here is a big issue. We put some insulation in my roof, but there's nothing in my walls. So there's just a sheet of gyprock and then a brick and an airspace between. So the walls leak heat, and the windows are single pane, so they leak heat. And that's the way things are built here. It's sort of weird. They just have regulations now. I think walls are supposed to have 1 R factor or 1.5 R factors in the walls, and I think it's 5 or 6 in the ceiling. Now, those are metric, so I don't know how they convert to imperial R factors, but it's not a major amount of insulation that's supposed to be in new buildings, so it is what it is, I guess. Other than that, nothing really else to complain about. It's school break time. All the kids are out, so everything's packed. There's all sorts of activities. There's winter carnivals all over the place. A couple of them are even making artificial snow so that the kids can play in the snow. VK2DY, back to net.
Okay. Just quickly, I didn't think that R factor was dependent upon metric versus imperial, but I guess it is there. Imperial, it's square feet times degree Fahrenheit times hours over BTU. This measures how many hours it takes for one BTU of heat to pass through 1 square foot of insulation for every 1 degree Fahrenheit of temperature difference. And the metric is meter squared times K over W. What is that? Oh, that's Kelvin over Watt. So this measures square meters per Kelvin per Watt of thermal resistance. So to convert between the two, an imperial value is roughly 5.68 times the metric value. So you'll divide or multiply by 5.68. It looks like the imperial value is the bigger one. So you go from imperial to metric, you divide, and the other way you multiply. Right, okay. Anyway, I'm just curious, how cold does it get down there? I mean, what's the, you know, do you actually break the zero barrier and go negative sometimes in the winter?
So VK2DY here. Sorry, my coffee machine's grinding the beans there. We do... Most winters, we get at least one day where we break the freeze barrier. I've recorded temperatures as low as -1 Celsius, -2 Celsius, I think, at one time. But that's usually in the real depths of winter, like the end of this month. where we can hit that low temperature, but often we don't. VK2DY.
Okay, well, I haven't looked at what I'm trying to say here is that sounds to me like Alabama or Georgia. Although I know that even they have cold days that go below freezing. So anyway, it's good to know. All right. I thought there was something else. Oh, yeah, there was one other thing I wanted to mention. Once again, it looks like the VoIP gateway into the Anon radio stream is not working. So the folks over there on Anon radio, they're not listening to us now. So it's just the three of us and nobody else. Eventually I'll have the archived audio uploaded, but until then, nobody's listening. So let's pass it back over to Ray and see if he wants to add anything.
Well, the only thing I'd add is I have the Malahit DSP SDR radio, the one from China that's in the big metal case that's about the size of a brick and weighs as much, and you could probably use to pound in nails. And I think I posted a review, or maybe I mentioned it about a year ago when I got it on the net. Anyway, they've got a new firmware version out, but that firmware only works with licensed versions of the radio. And naturally, there are all kinds of reverse-engineered Chinese non-licensed versions. So I am going to tonight take a picture of the startup screen, which has a unique serial number, and send it off to the Malahit team and see whether I can download the firmware. It looks like it's got some nice changes. They like change some of the radio dial stuff to use American channel spacing for some of the cute little gooey things, and they've cleaned up the DSP somewhat. So I'll report back next week so it's whether or not the firmware was worth installing. But that's, I think, all the traffic I've got, so I'll turn it back to you. AB9FJ from KF6GPE.
Okay. Thanks for that, Ray. Look forward to hearing about that next week. So here we are, about 19, almost 20 minutes into the hour. And I think I'll stick around for another, I don't know, 5 minutes maybe, see if anybody else shows up. Other than that, though, you're free to leave, I guess, unless you think of something to talk about. So it's open mic, whatever's on your mind.
Yeah, VK2DY, I just wanted to say that I just checked the northern version of 34, which were about 33.8. South, 33.6 north is Myrtle Beach. So I think maybe our weather might match Myrtle Beach. Anyway, thank you for the net. BK2DY.
Okay, thanks for joining us, Robert.
KF6GPE.
Yeah, go ahead, Ray.
I'll stick around, too, just in case Guillermo or anybody comes on. Anyway, if we don't talk more, 73 KF6GPE.
Yeah, same here. I'll probably wrap up at the end there, but yeah, pretty much 73. We'll see what happens. And I'm just looking at this Google results that I've quoted, and the thing is that it gave Imperial versus Metric. Now, in the Imperial, there was a time component in the formula, but in the Metric version, that was left out. So I'm thinking that was a case of the Gemini artificial intelligence not being all that intelligent.
Oh, that's very interesting. I wonder if you get a different result if you go to Claude.ai and punch it into Claude or ChatGPT. I've had hit and miss results with Gemini doing other unit conversions for electronics and stuff. It generally works okay, but sometimes it seems to miss the boat. KF6GPE.
Yeah, I'm a little leery about the Gemini and what's the other one, ChatGPT, and I do a lot of Google searches, and a lot of the time the AI overview answers my question, and I don't really need to pursue it more, but I will usually scroll down a little bit, and I like to, even if I don't need to, click on the Wikipedia entry just so that it gets a hit there. Because I definitely want Wikipedia to stick around and look to see what else is in here, what other sites have things to say about my questions. But as I said, usually the AI overview has an answer, and they cite sources, and in this case here, they're citing Wikipedia and Reddit and Home Depot, which is, that's kind of middling. If I'm asking a question about medicine, there'll usually be some, the government, National Institutes of Health kind of sites that are quoted for the answers, which is I trust them a lot more than, say, Reddit or even Wikipedia. So anyway, it's a work in progress here. I'm still very leery about AI and what its total impact is going to be. Yeah. Anyway, just a long diatribe there or aside. We're still 25 minutes or so into the hour waiting for anyone else to join us.
Yeah, like you, I don't like, and that drives my wife nuts, the whole do a search and get the AI results up top and then you got to scroll down. And you're right, it really worries me about supporting other sites, especially sites that actually need to sell advertising to cover their content. That said, at work we pay for Claude Code subscriptions, and I've really been impressed by what Claude Code does. It saved us a lot of work, and it's only really screwed stuff up, I don't know, maybe once or twice a week. And of course, then the onus is on my boss and me to actually catch those mistakes instead of committing to the source code base and having our QA guy find it 3 weeks later. Turn it back to you, AB9FJ from KF6GPE.
I haven't tried using the AI for my coding. I did try an experiment once just to see how well it worked, and it was for something really trivial. I didn't really need help, but it did work, and so I'm thinking maybe I'll give it another try, something a little more complicated, something that I might have to struggle with, like, scraping a paywall website, something like that. We'll see.
Yeah, that'd be a good use for it. You might actually, if you just want the content, be able to point it at, well, I know you can point it at content once and ask it for static HTML and it'll do that, but I'll bet you could, give it a URL and say, use this content and write a Python script to give me the HTML or give me the plain text. I do know that if you tell it to convert HTML to Markdown, it'll go ahead and download and install Pandoc, which is almost certainly not what you want. I haven't tried saying, no, don't install Pandoc. Excuse me. Write a Python script to actually do it. Our product manager is using it to write a manual. The first thing it did was you want DocX. I'll install Pandoc for you. And she was like, whoa, wait a minute, I don't know about that. So it can be over, because it's a lot of code doing this, it can be overzealous about installing crap on your machine, but at least it asks for permission, KF6GPE.
Thanks for the warning. I'll keep an eye out for something like that. Okay, so here we are, 27 and a half minutes after the hour. And I think I'll wait another minute and a half. Wait a minute, is that right? 2 minutes and a half? Anyway, and then wrap it up at 0030. Okay, that's it. It's 0030. Let me go back here to my script, see if I need to say anything here. So this concludes this week's SDF Amateur Radio Club Net at 0030 hours youth of Zulu. This is Net Control Station AB9FJ 73, everyone.
73, Wayne. Catch you next week. KF6 GPE.